Good evening and welcome to the Sunday night, November 20th, 2011, couples call for Joel and Kathy Davidson, God Save Marriage Ministry. And this is Steve of Steve and Julie. And just want to welcome everybody. Do we have anybody on the call yet?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Jim.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. To hear your voice.
Yeah. Well, when you get back around to us, well, I guess I need to talk to you.
Okay. Sounds good, Jim. Excellent. Glad to hear you on here, and we'll visit with you here in just a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Kind of see who all's on here and go from there, okay, Jim? All right. Who else do we have? Well, Jim, it says there's only two, so it must just be me and you, brother. I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Father, thank you, God. God, we love you and we praise you. And Lord, we just lift this call before you tonight, and we ask, God, that you'd be glorified, that you'd be honored, Lord God. God, that you'd give us words to speak, that you'd give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, that you would just speak through Julie and I and others, whoever else is speaking on this call, Father God, that it would be your words that come through. Lord, we just ask, God, that you prepare both the hearer and the speaker, Father, and that you would be glorified. God, that your word would settle on each of our hearts. We just bless you and glorify you, Lord. Just present this time to you tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have we got anybody else join the call yet tonight? All right. Well, hi, Jim.
Hey, bud.
Let's go ahead and visit.
Yeah.
You guys getting any cool weather down there?
Getting some cool wind, yeah. It was cloudy all day yesterday. Felt real good with the wind blowing.
Yeah, we've had a lot of wind here, too.
Yeah, I went out and sprayed weeds yesterday and mowed the grass.
Yeah. The spraying weeds got to get a little liquid on that grass, huh?
Yeah.
And it's been tough. Really,
yeah, it has. Yeah, they... I didn't hear you breaking up.
I said we really just haven't got much of any rain yet either. It rained once here, I guess, last week or something, and that was it.
Yeah, we did too, yeah. One time, a guy across the street told me we got 2.5 inches.
Well, y'all got, that's good. I mean, I think we ended up, I don't even know that we got an inch.
Yeah.
Rain, but, mm-hmm. You know, we're thankful for every little bit we can get, though.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, my weeds need it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so how are you doing, Jim?
I'm messing up.
Yeah, well, you know, I do that too sometimes. And,
yeah, well, we were, I guess, starting at the beginning, we were at Ross. We get they call it a shoe box. It's a decorated box about the size of a shoe box. From church.
Yeah, for, is that Operation Christmas Child?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we fill them up every year.
Right, yeah.
And, we had gotten quite a bit of stuff to go in this little shoebox.
Mm-hmm.
In my eye, you know. So we're at Ross, dying shopping, and I don't know, she put this domino deal, but it's about, I don't know, 8 inches long maybe, 4 inches wide, 2 inches thick. And I told her, you know, baby, I don't think that's going to fit in that shoebox because I know all the stuff we got.
Mm-hmm.
And she said I said it 3 or 4 more times. I don't recall. But I do know before we went to check out, I asked her, are you still getting these dominoes? And she grabbed the dominoes, did not say a word that I know of, and took them on back and put them back up. And I asked her, what was that all about? So we went ahead and paid for our purchases. We went out to the car. And we talked about it, And we got an understanding, I believe, that I didn't hear something she said or whatever. So we kind of got out of that one.
Right.
We went on about our business, about our night. Next morning, I come downstairs, and when I turn the corner, I hear that she's talking to somebody on the phone. And to me, she was putting me down again. And when that happens, I mean, I blow it,
right.
You know?
Right. Understand.
And so I've been blowing it ever since.
Okay. Well, let's explore that a little bit. Let's just kind of look at that a little bit. And Diana did get on last night and just shared just a little bit, you know, that she was really hurting and kind of shared a little bit about what kind of happened and what she sensed. But so let's kind of explore the thing that, you know, is really gotten under your skin or kind of gotten you to that place of tuning out or whatever you want to call it, you know, which would be you heard part of a conversation, half of a conversation, right, on a telephone, so you only heard one half, right?
Well, I heard her talking about me.
Right, but you
I
only
didn't
heard
the whole conversation. No,
yeah.
I didn't hear the whole conversation.
Right, so you only heard one half of the conversation, and you heard her talking about you and sharing something about something you have done or something from your past, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me just ask you this. What she was saying, was it true?
I don't know. I think that's my bad deal, is that she remembers all this stuff. I don't remember it.
And
whenever
I wasn't saying that.
You know, she put some crap on me that, you know, I don't know that.
Right.
Do I remember it? No, I don't remember it.
Okay. Well, okay. And that actually is, that's okay too, because, you know, so let's take that for instance. So she was saying something that offended you or hurt your feelings or, you know, got under your skin, whatever it might have been, however you want to look at it. But now what's it been, 2 days later?
Yeah.
Two or three days later, and you don't even remember what it was, right?
Yeah, I remember what it was. I think I do.
Well, that's what I
don't
remember what she
I mean, was what saying. She was saying. I remember what she was saying. I don't remember the incident.
You don't actually remember it happening. I understand.
No,
I got
no,
you.
No, I don't remember
I got
that.
You. Okay.
But I don't remember a lot of stuff.
I have that problem, too, unfortunately. Very, very true. I forget things that I did this morning sometimes. Well, okay, so here's the thing, and I don't even know, we don't know the details of what Diane's conversation was. She was talking with somebody else, sharing a story, probably, you know, it was using some situation to probably, you know, to drive home a point about something. Who knows? I do that a lot. You know, I'll use a situation to be able to drive home a point that I'm trying to tell somebody. So the thing is, do you believe Diane was doing it to hurt you?
No. No,
right.
I don't.
So you don't think she was telling a story about you to hurt you?
No.
And you're not even, you don't know for sure if what she was, you don't remember the situation, so you don't know if it was something you did or not, and, you know, because you're just not remembering it.
Yeah.
So
well, she remembers it.
Right, I understand.
And
so,
my deal, I guess, is that I don't know why everybody has to know my business. You know? I don't understand that. Why everybody has to know my business.
And I would probably venture to guess that everybody doesn't know your business.
I don't know.
And you know, these are, that would be a situation. It was something that was being shared to be able to make a point. Now, here's the thing, and this is, you know, part of where I'm at is I was a pretty terrible husband. I did some crap. I mean, adultery, pornography, lying, you know, just I mean, you name it. I mean, I was very abusive, passive, abusive kind of guy to my wife for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And if my wife shares that with anybody and it can help them, I'm all for it. Because I know I did those things, and I know I was a rotten husband. And I know that that's not who I wanted to be. I just didn't know any better, Jim.
Yeah.
And I want, you know, I want to become that Christ-like man, and that's the direction I'm going. And so if something I did in the past can help somebody else, then I want it to be used. Because, you know, God said in the Word, He said, you know, what the enemy meant for bad, God can use for good. So those things that I did in the past that were bad, God can still use those situations for good, and that could be to help somebody else.
Even though you don't remember them.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if I remember it or not.
Somebody sitting there saying stuff about you that you ain't got a clue that happened.
Well,
you know?
I guess where I'm at, though, Jim, in my relationship with my wife at this point, if I heard that conversation, and I'm like, I don't remember that. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't remember that happened. Why is she telling them that? What I would do is afterwards I would come to my wife and say, so what were you talking about there? I don't remember that. I'll have to do that.
I got it in my head, and I'm going to do it next time because I just lose it. When I lose it, I lose it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it doesn't do any good because I know where you want to go. You know, I know you want to bless your wife because I've been here. You know, I hear you on these calls, and I see where you guys have come from where you were. And you're
I love her, and I want everything to be great between us and everything, but...
And you're not the same person you were 6 months ago, Jim. You've come a long ways in the last 6 months. So, I mean, this is a bump. This is, and trust me, I mean, Julie and I went through one here just recently, had a bump. I had the bump. Julie had to suffer from the bump. And I threw down. I was just, nothing was getting through to me. You know, Julie and I spent 2 hours on the phone with Joel and Kathy. It still didn't get through to me. And then we spent another hour and a half on helper's call with John and Susan and Joel and Kathy and some others. And finally, it just finally got through. You know, something, I mean, I guess it did kind of start getting through from between Joel and Kathy and Tom, but I mean, it was John and Susan, but it was kind of that process of getting through that bump and getting back on track again. And it was devastating, very hard for Julie, you know, really hurt her because she's like, come on, we should be past this stuff, you know? So it really hurt her. And even though I was still in my funk, Jim, I knew it hurt her and I didn't want it to, but I couldn't get out of my funk. But I just had to keep pressing in and, you know, trying to do the right things and just keep, you know, getting on.
I couldn't even think of the right
things. Oh, I know. I know. And the thing is, for me, when I get in a funk like that, you're right. I'm really not able to think of the right things because in my mind I'm thinking of all the things to do to fix it, and then when I do those things to fix it, it makes it worse. You know? So I just keep piling on this pile, you know, and the truck's overloaded already, and I just keep dumping more sand on it, you know? And until I can finally, somehow something will finally click, and then I'm like, oh, okay, now we're back on track. And for me, stepping out and getting the help on the calls is what really helps me, because that's kind of that first step of making the phone call and speaking up and saying, I got to have some help, you know.
That's hard for me because I can't hardly stand to be on his damn phone. I just hate it.
You mean on the phone, period, or being on this call?
On all the calls. I don't know. Just sitting here listening to all this yakking all the time just gets to me.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Well, and I understand that. Go ahead. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I say I haven't kept that a secret. But, Diane, that's the first thing is get on a call, and then that pissed me off. Now you're going to get somebody else in on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, and Diane understands that being able to talk through things sometimes is, you know, that's what it got to do. You got to just be able to talk through things sometimes. For me, it is. I know for me, I mean, being able to talk through things. And I'm the same way, especially in the beginning, Jim. Oh, I hated the idea of having to get on a call because I already knew what I was going to be told.
Oh, yeah, it's a rerun, you know.
But the thing is, there was something about getting on the call and hearing it anyway, even though I knew what I was going to be told. It made a difference for me, you know.
Yeah.
And for us, I mean, it's a little different for us because, I mean, we know that, you know, we had more than one word spoken over us that we were going to be in marriage ministry and, you know, and this is the tool that God's using to restore our marriage. So for us, it's a whole different look probably than it is for you, Jim. And I understand that. You know, in the beginning, I didn't want to listen on the calls. I didn't want to be on the calls because it just was like, come on, you know. I would go from one extreme to the other on the whole call thing. Either I didn't want to hear it, what was being said, or I'd be sitting there just like, oh, can you imagine listening to that guy, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I went to the whole gamut, but the reality is it's the calls, the ministry, reading the books, doing all the stuff is what has helped me to reprogram my brain to have a different look at things and to be able to look at things through Christ's eyes better than I ever have before. And I see the results in my marriage, and they're good.
Well, my marriage will be, to me, going pretty good. We're laughing, cutting up, doing things together.
Mm-hmm.
And something like this will pop up.
Right.
And I'll lose it.
Yeah. And I understand. And you know what? The thing is, though, Jim, every time you go through this type of thing, you grow through this. And because, I mean, and I know, I understand, you know, you get tired of hearing the calls and tired of hearing the stuff. But the reality is, what you're hearing is who you want to become, right? I mean, you want to be a more Christ-like man, right?
Yeah.
And you want to be your wife's knight in shining armor. You want to be the man that she dreamed of when she married you, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what you're hearing on the calls is who you want to be, but it's that process of retraining our brains to be that way because, let's face it, we weren't like that. Because if we were, we would probably have never found this ministry because we would have had an outrageously happy marriage.
If I don't raise a lot of hell about that, then when we get on the phone call, all we're doing is listening, you know, because we're good.
That's right, yeah.
But I can't help from raising a lot of hell when something like that strikes me.
Right.
I raised a lot of hell.
Right. So,
my grandfather said something to me once up on a time, and I run away from home. I went and stayed with an aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I didn't like her sitting there putting my business on the street like or something like that, and
yeah.
I blew up.
Well,
if
but Jim,
about
that,
it next time.
Yeah, it's that fight or flight thing in you that rears up, you know. It's like you hear or something happens that doesn't fit into your box of who you are, what you do, and you don't have all the tools of how to communicate that, deal with it in a godly manner or in a manner
yeah.
that's a righteous way. So you know, so and that's what I'm saying. It's a matter of learning. It's a matter of retraining our brains, because let's face it.
Well, I love my wife and I want my marriage. I want to be, you know, forever and a day.
Yeah.
We're older together, but I just keep blowing it.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing, Jim. let's look at it this way. Or let's, you know, you say, I keep doing it. But, you know, and Diane said it to me last night. She said, you know, you guys had like 3 good months.
It seems like that's our target. 3 months and I blow up.
Okay. Well, and here's the thing. And there may be a cycle there. But as you can learn how to, when that trigger hits, learn how to process that, be able to work through it, then you'll get to a point where that 3-month trigger will just be a little tiny bump that you just, you know, you're over it in a moment and you move on. And then eventually you look back and go, wow, you know, it's been like 2 or 3 years since we had an argument. Or 2 or 3 years since I blew up. But that's just part of the process, Jim. And that's my point. You guys have had, you've shown, you know, you've proven, and Diane's proven that you guys have come a long ways. And, you know, you can do this, and you can be happy together, and you can have fun together, and enjoy each other, and bless each other. You know, so it's not that you just screw up, Jim, because you're not a screw up. Okay? Just come to this point.
I don't know, buddy. If you'd be here, you'd tell me, you'd think I was a screw up.
Well, you know what, though? If you'd have been in my house a few weeks ago, too, you'd have said the same thing. Okay? No.
I got to be able to tell her what I'm thinking, what's on my mind, what bothered me about it. You know?
Right, and that's okay to do that, but the way you do it and the process of doing it, okay? So, you know, as we talk about in this ministry, you know, the beginning, you know, for the guys, we say for the first 6 months, your feelings don't matter. You just need to do this and bless your wife and take care of her and just take your feelings to God, okay? But as you begin to get healed, you're able to express to your wife what you're feeling and what is happening and how things are going, and that's, you know, how you continue to grow.
Well, see, that's the first I've heard that. I thought nothing about a man mattered. His feelings, what he's got, this, nothing matters. That's what I've had in my head because I thought that's what I've heard.
Yep. And that's not true, Jim. The only reason, because you know what, we all have feelings, okay? It's what we do with our feelings, okay? And the reason why in the ministry we ask the guy, in the beginning we'd say, for the first 6 months, you're just going to take your feelings to God. It's because up to that point, we have been abusive to our wives, and it's been all about us in the marriage. And it's been all about our feelings and walking all over our wives and abusing our wives in different ways, whether it's passively or aggressively or somewhere in between. So we say for the first 6 months, your feelings don't matter. It's not that your feelings don't matter. It's that you can't be sharing your feelings with your wife because that's not going to help her to get healed, and it's not going to help the guy to grow. And that's what we'll work. We're trying to get to a place of growing out of our immaturity in that area. Because where we're immature, where we become arrested is in our development, is in our feelings, in our relational places, in our emotions. So we don't have a adult perspective of how to express our emotions and our feelings. So when we express our emotions to our wives and our feelings to them, we're puking all over them, and we're making, and they're not the wife. God did not create the wife to be able to take that. So when we do that, it's adding more stress to her, more cortisol to her, and bringing her down and making things worse. So we say for 6 months, you take her feelings on, and you take your feelings to God. Take her feelings and then dump them. You don't have to keep all that in you. Just dump them. Give it to God. And as you grow, as your relationship starts to heal, it becomes a mutual place where you share with each other. Because guys have feelings just like women have feelings. But because we begin to grow, then we learn how to express ourselves to our wives in a way that it's not dumping on them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know one thing that hurts her is whenever I do get to blowing up like that, is, you know, that it's the abandonment thing that I always come up with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wish I didn't do that because I'm, you know, I want her, and that's all I want.
When you say the abandonment thing, you say you abandon her, you mean, or?
Yeah, abandon her.
Okay.
And I shouldn't do that because she's the only thing in the world I want.
Right. Yeah. So that's an area for you to keep at the forefront of your mind of a place that you need to learn how to walk through and process through.
When I get mad, it's like, I don't know. I like to control what I'm saying, what I'm doing. It just like, I don't know. Everyone's nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, and you got to just learn how to take that to God, Jim, and get control on that. Because, you know, the reality is, you know, if you're losing control, you know, you're screaming or cussing or throwing a fit, is there anything godly in that?
No.
You know, because, you know, the Word says that there is no righteousness in that, okay? So that's something that you need to be taking to God and getting out of you, because that's a place in you. God is revealing that place to you, showing you this place in you that He wants to bring healing. And He wants to grow you out of that. So He's revealing it, and what God reveals, He reveals because He wants to heal. Okay? So whether it's towards your wife or anybody else, or you're out in the middle of the woods all by yourself and you trip over a tree branch and fall down and hit your head and get angry and start cussing out the trees and no one else is there, it doesn't matter. It's still that core that's inside of you that God wants out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that's what you need to take to God, because it's really about you, and it's not about Diane. This has, you know, this situation, this issue has nothing to do with Diane. It has to do with you. You know?
Yeah.
And Jim, the rest of your life is not going to be, you don't matter. And it's not right now. Do matter. What you think, what you feel, and what's going on in your head does matter. It's how you present it that makes the difference.
Well, I've had in my head at all times that nothing about me matters.
Well, you see, it is a good thing we had this conversation tonight.
Yeah.
Because God made you, and God doesn't make junk, and God called you, and you're His son.
That's the first time anybody's ever said that on this phone call, and I've been on them 2 years.
Is that right? Well, you're His son, okay? And God's the king, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, if you're His son, what does that make you?
His son.
Yeah, but if He's the king, what does that make you?
Make me a prince, huh? Something like that. I don't know.
Make you a prince. That's right. All right? So you're a prince. You're not junk.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you don't have to do that. You don't have to think that way. Because God made you, and He made you perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of us choosing by our will to walk in how God created us. Now, that is easy said and harder to do. But when we have the truth and we know what it is He's calling us to walk in and where we're missing it, then we know where we're trying to go. We have a plan. We have a target to shoot for. This is who God created me to be, and this is who I'm going to be. This is who I'm walking in. And then you begin to go towards that goal.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're not going to ever fall off the horse? No, it doesn't. But what it does mean is when you fall off the horse, you get back up and get on that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to get there. I'm going to get there.
Yes, you are. You're a lot closer today than you were 6 months ago, Jim.
Yeah.
You know? You are.
Yeah.
So don't believe those lies.
No.
Okay?
All right, buddy. I appreciate you. Input. I really like this conversation tonight.
Yeah. So the thing for you to do tonight is just humble yourself and apologize to Diane, and don't ask her to just forget about it, because her feelings matter and how you made her feel matter.
Yeah.
Just let her tell you how she feels. And then
worst thing in the world to me to see her cry.
Yeah. So if she starts to cry when you apologize to her, then touch her. Put your hand on her. Hold her.
Yeah.
Tell her you understand because you hurt her and you didn't want to hurt her. You just don't know how to deal with it, but you're trying to learn.
Yeah.
And you want to learn. And reassure her you're never going to give up. You're going to keep trying to learn, and you're going to keep working on becoming the man of God that God created you to be.
Yeah.
That's all Diane needs. And she just wants to be able to, when you come in and say, I'm sorry, baby. And she starts to say, well, what do you mean you're sorry? You did this and this. And now, are you sure you're sorry? And you're like, yeah. You just stand right there and you say, yes, I am. And I understand why you feel that way. And I understand why.
Last night. But then when she started telling me all this stuff, then I go on off, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So don't go off. Just say, here's a good way to look at it. Here's how you can look at it, Jim, is when she's going off, it's because of the past hurt of who you used to be. And she's not healed from that yet completely. She's getting healed, but she's not completely healed. So when something like this happens, it brings back all those old emotions and all those old feelings and her insecurity in thinking that you're not going to do this. You're not doing it. You're going to be you're going back to who you were. And that scares her. So just reassure her. No, baby, I'm here. I'm not going. I know I messed up, but I'm not going to continue. I'm going to keep working on becoming a better man, and just let her say what she needs to say. And when she's done, say, I understand that because that's who I used to be.
Yeah.
That's who I used to be. And see, and then make that disconnect, Jim, right there. That's who I used to be. And she's only talking about who you used to be, not who you are.
Yeah.
Okay? So, and make that disconnect. So then you don't get upset with her because she's telling you about who you used to be and how you used to hurt her.
Yeah. Yep, I need to do that.
Because that's not who you are today.
No, it ain't.
Yeah. So just maybe if you can in your head, you know, just keep that disconnect, you might say, there where it's the two. You know, that's the old guy she's talking about, and that's not who I am today. So I'm just going to say, you know, I understand, honey, why you feel that way, because that's who I used to be.
Yeah. Well, I think she's probably on the phone up in the bedroom. She might have something to say. I don't know. You up there, baby?
Yeah, I leave the room because you hurt me when I watch you or listen to you.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I appreciate it, Steve.
Well, you're welcome. Diane, did you have anything you wanted to share?
Well, other than the issue at Ross the other night, it's the reason it happened what it happened, because that's what he's always done me. You know, he asked me the one question about the incident, about the box, and I knew the box itself wouldn't fit in the box, but, you know, they're dominoes. You could stick them here, stick them there, and they're all come together,
right.
And that's what I figured. I could probably do that. He asked
right.
me. I said, I'm going to take it, and if it doesn't, if I don't see that it'll work, I'll bring it back. He asked
yeah.
me two more times the same
right.
question, and his pattern has been in the years that he keeps on in a base of something because he doesn't agree with it, because he's not seeing it, so it's not acceptable.
Right.
And so I cave in to his leading of what it is about don't get it, because
uh-huh.
that's what he's done throughout the years for all kinds of things. So that
yeah.
night, the third time, then it wasn't just the third time, the fourth time, he asked me four times.
Right.
And the fourth time it came out, that's when it was time. Hey, just go put the thing back, forget it, because that's
yeah.
what he does me. And then he'll mm-hmm. be satisfied because he has a thinking, I don't need to get it, it ain't going to work or whatever. Instead of just listening to the first time what I told him and let it go, that's what he gets in his head, and he pursues it.
And I also told you I didn't hear that. I didn't hear
yeah.
it.
Oh, well, and you know what? Even at that, Jim, here the easiest way to deal with that is just, you know, when if you have something like that, okay, and that situation with the dominoes, you bring it up one time, and then you drop it and just leave it alone from there, and
yep.
just in that place, and just trust your wife with it, you know? Just trust her, you know? And really, because, and honestly, though, that's, and I don't want to get into a whole deep area there, but that's an area of control. That's a way that you control Diane and what she does and making her do what you want her to do. So you just got to trust her there and just let her do it. I mean, what, the dominoes, maybe $2-3 probably, wouldn't it, you know?
I don't know, something like that. I mean, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It wasn't nothing.
Right. Right, so
you
know,
you could have got them and thrown them in the trash can on the way out. I wouldn't have cared. Just don't.
Right, and exactly, so therefore, why make a big deal on it? You know, why even bring it up? Just,
yeah.
If it's something she wanted to do, let her do it, you know?
My idea was I was visualizing everything we were trying to cram in this little box, and
right.
these dominoes
right.
not going to fit.
Yeah.
You heard
yeah.
it.
Fit. And that was it.
See, you
right,
know where you just he kept visualizing. He had it in his head.
Yeah.
So he pursued his thought pattern rather than listening to what I said to him. Rather
right,
than
and
listening,
that totally...
he kept on that thought pattern of his own and pursued that. And that's
right.
what he does. He pursues
right.
his way that he thinks about it and keeps on until I just, okay, here, until I change thought, whatever goes along with him. And then he feels good with it.
Right. And,
after that, there, and I'd asked him to look at a sweater. Now, he just turned his head and didn't even look at me. I stood there, and so I went and put it back. But we did get in the car, and I got on the call Wednesday night with Jeff, and I told Jeff. Jeff said that he, whatever happened, even though in the car we talked about it, and it was very hard to talk about this, because I said, Jim, we need to discuss this. This is something that has happened repeatedly in our marriage. We need to understand what happens here so it doesn't happen anymore. And it was very scary for me, and I knew it was very hard for him to try to control his manner of talking in the car
mm-hmm.
and what he said. But I felt like we resolved the thing. We understood. He didn't hear all that I said. He does recognize that he pursued that. He didn't hear me when I said, look at me about the sweater. So I'm understanding that he's not hearing sometimes when I'm talking to him, but I had looked him straight in the face and said, do you realize you've asked me that two times already? I mean, I'm looking him in the face telling him this. So I know he's hearing me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he heard that. So I felt like on the trip home from there, we resolved that. But what Jeff said, with that happening that night, he really carried it over until the next day in his thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And his actions showed up. So when
yeah,
he comes downstairs and hear me talking about an incident because he's, oh, you're bashing me, he doesn't come. He comes around the corner, and I mean, it's off, you know. And
right.
and then
right.
even Jeff had said Wednesday night, he said, and Jim, I had to brought the phone in there because I know we need help to help us get past what we're doing because he doesn't get it from me. And Jeff had said, Jim, you know what you need to do. You get up in the morning, fresh in the morning, and you go to Diane, you apologize for what happened and that it hurt her. And what'd he do? He comes downstairs, and, man, we're off. So that's since Thursday. And it's been ugly.
Right.
It's been ugly. His words have been ugly. His attitude is ugly. His everything.
Yeah, well,
and when, like, he comes last night, he wants to say, I'm sorry. He wants to say, I'm sorry, but not hear anything I have to say that I or express what I feel. And then he blows up again. And it reminds me back in 1993 when we went to counseling, and I had slept downstairs, and he was upstairs, and every day he'd come in from work with, oh, I'm going to hug you, kiss you, and we're going to be okay. The minute it didn't happen, the response wasn't the way he wanted it to, he'd blow up. I mean, he would just blow up and cuss and fuss. Every time it's all sweet butter and sugar, but whenever I would respond to him like, well, no, this doesn't get it. This isn't enough for me. He would blow up because he wanted it to work out the way he wanted it to at the time. And that's exactly what that reminded me of last night, because that's what he did to me back then, too.
Mm-hmm.
If I try to talk, if I try to express something to him and he don't want to hear it, well, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get all the ugly hurt words. I'm going to get all that crap that he gives me. And that's what he does.
Right. And that's what we were just discussing about, you know, it has so much to do with past and how things were how things were in the past in those old wounds. And, you know, in order to overcome them, happen to do different actions and press through those places. And, Jim, that's what we were just talking about, just pressing through that, just believing Diane that this is something she's got to get out and let her get it out, and keeping on your game of being the blessing.
Yeah.
And,
I mentioned to him about
Diane,
he fell in a hole here.
He
don't want to initiate. He says, you can either find somebody else to sing to you or dance with you or something like that. Oh, you can't think of another. I mean, that's what he says to me. I talked to him about initiate loving me.
Well, let me ask you, though, Diane. That's during this time while Jim's in the hole, right?
He don't like that word anytime. And he says, today I was thinking about the idea of initiating. We used to listen to the calls. He talked about the calls. We were on a call last week. 2 weeks before that, we were on a call. We're on a call maybe once a week. Thank God he initiated getting on the phone call tonight. I have no clue. I'm sure he's getting on a call or nothing. And just life, I don't know what life was going to be for me or what way I was going. I didn't know that. But he got on the call, and that's great that he did that. But it's to get on the call and be teachable and understand what happened. If he'd have come down Thursday morning, and I wouldn't have experienced all that pain he took me through. I wouldn't have all that hurt that he piled on top. And even the 3 months ago when he did it then, I wrote, every time he does this, it's harder and harder for me to get closer and trust him. Because he was on a 2-month pattern, and this is the first 3-month span we've had.
Well, the reason why it hurts more, Diane, the reason why it hurts more is because you're getting that healing in between. So then when something like this happens, it escalates it so much more because you're like, wait a minute, we were doing good. Things were getting better, you know, and it probably brings out, you're able to actually, more things are coming out because you are getting some healing in between there. So therefore, the intensity is even bigger.
Steve, I can handle anything. I can handle working through whatever, but he picks to throw out about, like in other words, to hell with you, I'm done with this marriage, I'm out of here. He picks that stuff to throw at me.
Right.
And
right.
That is it. I can handle working through whatever we have to work through. But exactly what he says, I promise you, I love you, I'm here, I'm not going nowhere, I'm going to do this. He says all that, then he comes back and says that other stuff that hurts me so bad. And
right.
I said, Jim, which one's the truth?
Yeah.
He said, I told you I'm effing done with this crap. So that's where I can handle working and dealing with anything is when he does that to me. And he knows that that hurts me down to the core of my heart.
Right. Yep.
And it don't heal because he wants to come hug me and give me a kiss and say I'm sorry.
So, Jim, right. What would speak to Diane is for you to be able to get a handle on that and mature in that area a little bit so that you're not allowing yourself to become that angry and upset in the moment and just simmer down and make Diane, you know, number one at that. I mean, she's supposed to take first place in your life anyway, right? So if you're making her number one in that moment, saying, you know what, I'm gonna love my wife. I'm gonna press through this place where I struggle, where I typically throw down and get mad and cuss and scream or whatever. I'm gonna propose to change that and mature up out of that place and be what my wife needs me to be there. In the process, I'm gonna become more mature in that and learn how to get control over this thing. That's what's gonna speak to her.
Yeah.
Is that right, Diane?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a woman. Oh, I know I'm 2 years old. Oh, them effing people on that phone call tell me all this crap. You know, it's horrible. I mean, it's just horrible.
Well, because that's just your immaturity in that place, and you don't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be that way. We understand, you know, Steve was there. Lots of men have been in that place, and we totally understand being in that place, but we want to see you grow up and out of that place where I think you have a good relationship. Personally, I've seen it. I think you have a good relationship with John of John and Susan. I think you have a good relationship with my Steve, and I know y'all enjoy learning from each other and cutting up together too on, you know, being serious and being fun. And this is a good thing. You need relationships like that. You need other men to speak truth in your life, and you need other couples, one-flesh couples like us and like John and Susan and Joel and Kathy, to speak truth into your life. So you can, you know, you can come from a place of maturity in walking out being the man that God's called you to be by being the husband your wife needs you to be. Just be determined, Jim, that you want to do this to the point of wanting to get on the phone calls. I understand getting upset and frustrated and saying all those things. I understand that. I understand feeling that way. I feel like that sometimes myself in a different way, of course. But, you know, I understand, and I know Steve understands that, too. We got to get on that daggum phone call again, and, yeah, I'm acting like a two-year-old and all this stuff, and it's just, It's because your blood's boiling in that moment, and that's, you know, that's natural, but it's flesh.
Yeah,
you want to overcome your flesh. What's that?
I said, yeah, because I hate them damn phone calls. Just sitting around
right.
On these phone calls.
Right, but you've also formed some good relationships here. And not only that, you've learned a lot here, and you're growing, and we all see that you're growing. We see our own growth being on these calls. We see other people grow, and we see you and Diane growing in your relationship, in your marriage, and it's invaluable. And even though you might feel that way when you're angry, and maybe overall you don't like being on the phone, I understand that too, but you got to weigh, you know, you got to count the cost here. Is it worth it? Are you learning? Are you growing? Do you like having a relationship with John? Do you like having a relationship with Steve? Do you like learning how to, you know, be in this place of growing toward an outrageously happy marriage? I mean, you got to count the cost. What's it worth to you?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I like Steve and John both. I like to talk to them.
I know you do. Yes. You know what? They like you too. So if you didn't get on these phone calls, they wouldn't have you to like. And that's my point. It's valuable in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your wife needs you to stay plugged in because you are growing and learning and you are changing. And that's why it gets frustrating for us wives when we hit these bumps after we've got some good teaching and learning under our belt and we're beginning to change in this ministry. You know, we're changing. God's changing us in this place, and we hit this big old bump in our convertible, you know, in our marriage, this wonderful marriage that we're developing, and we hit this big old bump, and especially for us wives, it's like, man, I thought we were so much further along than this. How could you do this to me? You know, and it's very devastating. So you just got to man up in that moment and press in to show Diane that she is number one and that you are going to do whatever it takes to press through that, and you're not going to throw down and cuss and throw a fit like a two-year-old. I mean, obviously, when you act like that, I mean, if you saw somebody acting like that, that's going to be what you think too, Jim.
We got a two-year-old grandson, and he sees it. He acts the same,
exactly.
The same way. He don't cuss and all that, but he has a fit. Same
he's
thing.
He's cussing in his own two-year-old
language. Yeah, his own two-year-old language. I mean, he's having a fit.
Yeah. And you know, if that's an issue where you feel like that's being brought up a lot, maybe you need to look at that. You know, maybe, you know, Diane, if that's something that you're saying a lot, maybe you should back down on that and maybe put it in a different way so it doesn't, you know, push Jim's buttons and he can stay on track in those moments. You know what I'm saying?
I haven't said that to him at all. It's just whenever he gets mad like he did, he brings all that up, what he heard on the call.
It ain't been said
right.
To me
he's
in
pulling
a long
it from,
time.
No, he brings
yeah,
it up himself.
So you're pulling
whenever
it from
he,
what you've heard.
Go bad.
Yeah.
That's what he
well,
said.
You know what?
Oh, I'm acting like a woman. Oh, I'm
well,
a woman.
Your,
oh, I'm acting
okay,
like
well,
a two-year-old.
Right.
I mean,
well,
that's
hang,
what he
hang
comes
on
out
here,
with.
Diane.
It's
okay,
not me doing it.
Jim?
Yeah.
Right. That's what I thought, but I'm just checking. I'm probing for information here. But and I've been busy too, so I haven't heard every single thing that's been said. But Jim, you know, that's your own self condemnation there. So you're recognizing that this is a problem, but you're dealing with it in an immature way.
Yeah, I'm just wanting to
because
speak
you don't
into that
you don't
too,
like but... it in yourself. You don't like what you see in yourself, and that's it. I'm gonna let you say that, Steve. I'm gonna mute out.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that, Julie, because actually before you brought that up, I mean, that's kind of where I was going. What I was thinking and feeling, too, was because, Jim, I do that same thing. And when what happens, I get angry about it. I'm like, you know, because I see these things in myself, and it makes me angry and into that place, you know, where I'm doing something stupid, if I'm acting immature, childish, or doing something stupid, whatever it might be, and I'll get angry about it. And what I'm, the more I'm maturing in the Lord and in my relationship with my wife, the more I'm realizing that those places where I get the most angry are because I know that it's the truth about myself. And I don't like it about me, but I'm also I have a very hard time with changing things, especially when it comes to things about me. So I get angry about that because I know that's the way I'm acting or being. I don't like it about myself, but I don't want to change. You know, I want to change, but I don't want to go through the pain of that change.
Yep.
And, you know, so it's coming out that that's what's going on. And God is using those to reveal to us, again, like I was talking about earlier. So he's revealing these things because he wants to bring healing to those places in us. And he will bring healing to those places in us if we just will acknowledge it, you know, recognize it, acknowledge it, and confess it to him and give it to him and let him change us, and he will. And he does. So it's, you know, that's more where you're at and more what's happening. You know,
I ain't heard it in a long time. It's just that whenever I get like that, anything that I've heard in the past that I didn't like, I bring it up.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it really boils down to the reason you didn't like it was because it really hit home.
I don't know about that one. I've never
been
a woman before.
No, not being a woman, but acting in that way. And deep inside of us, it's like, I don't want to be that way. But yet, if we're honest with ourselves, when we look at the truth, we're like, wow, yeah, I actually am doing those things that would be, you know, I'm acting like a woman, or I'm acting like a two-year-old, or whatever it may be. That's what I'm doing. I don't like that. And, you know, so that used to really irritate me. And I remember, I mean, the first few times I got on calls and was hearing that kind of stuff, I'm like, man, I was, forget them people, man. They're nuts, yep. Crazy. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm not getting on one of them calls. You know?
But, yeah, me too.
But it was because I didn't want to have to deal with those things within me. You know, because God does call us as the man, as the husband, to be the guy that goes first, to be the one who initiates, to be the one who is the life, the source of life and the source of strength in our marriage and to our wives. It was like I was sharing with somebody last night on the call. You can kind of, in a sense, you can look at it, and if, I mean, by reading the scripture and understanding what the scripture is saying, technically, we are, as husbands, we are called to be Christ-likeness to our wives. We're to represent Christ to our wives, or represent, reproduce, however you want to put it. We are supposed to be Christ to our wives on the earth, fleshly Christ to our wives.
Yeah.
And our wives are called to be the Holy Spirit, the likeness of the Holy Spirit to us.
Hmm.
And that is biblical. That is what God's Word tells us and shows us. Okay? So as we are being Christ-like to our wives, then the Holy Spirit, through our wives, speaking to us, is showing us places. What did Jesus say when he told the disciples, I've got to go, I'm going to send a helper to you, a helper, okay, first. Okay, that's our wives, the helper, the helpmeet, okay?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's also called the counselor. The Holy Spirit's called the healer, can't think right now, but there's a number of different names for the Holy Spirit. He's a teacher. He comes to teach us, to convict us, all these different things. So when our wife is allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through her into our lives as Christ to her, those words that she's speaking are revealing places in us that needs to change or needs to do something, whatever it may be, whether it's conviction about something we're doing that's not Christ-like, whether it's a teaching, or whether it's a place of counsel, you know, like the incident in the store with the dominoes. Your wife, hey, you've told me this twice. I can handle this. Okay. I'm going to drop this. She's got this under control. She knows what she's got going on. You know, that kind of thing. So we need to listen to our wives, because without the Holy Spirit, you know, and somebody talked about this on a call the other day. You know, they were sharing about Jesus, and the comment was made that Jesus went to the cross, did whatever, I can't remember. Oh, it was talking about him being on the cross and telling the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And he said, you know, even though he was hanging on the cross, he still did that. And then he made the comment that, but he was God. And here's the reality, though. When Christ came to earth, he gave up his place in heaven. He gave up his deity in heaven and became fully man on this earth. Now, he was born of a woman, or born a man, whatever you want to call it, okay? But he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was in him, but he was fully man. without the Holy Spirit in Jesus, he would have been just like anybody else on this earth. But he had the Holy Spirit in him to guide him, to teach him, to convict, to keep him going in the right direction and give him the wisdom that he needed to be able to do what he came to earth to do. Without the Holy Spirit in him, that would not have happened.
Yeah. Okay?
So he was born of the Holy Spirit. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and it was in him. Now, when he was baptized before his ministry started, it says that the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Now, if he was already God, he didn't need the Holy Spirit, because he was already God. He already had the Holy Spirit, okay. But he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, so he already had the Holy Spirit in him, but yet the Holy Spirit came upon him as a dove and filled him even more.
Yeah.
So I say all that, that's a little bit more teaching on that than, you know, what was really necessary for the point of your wife is the earthly representation to you of the Holy Spirit, and you're the earthly representation to her of Christ. But when we choose to ignore something our wife is saying, we're really saying to God, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit. I don't want to hear what he has to say to me.
Yeah.
So if we can receive what our wives are telling us in that manner, we can maybe begin to go deeper in those places, even though we may not like what we're hearing. Just like, you know, God, I don't know if you've ever had God, you know, literally speak to you through the Word or whatever, but you knew it was God speaking to you about something. You had a choice to make, to believe God and do what he's telling you, or say no.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of that same thing here, you know. And a lot of times when we do hear God speaking to us, it's not always something we wanted to hear, you know, but it's something we needed to hear.
Yeah.
Yep. See,
all right, Jim.
Steve,
yeah.
Can I ask you something?
Okay.
But whenever we were talking, like, and he'd say, I'm sorry for what I did because you were bashing me. And I told him, I said, Jim, I said, that's not an apology.
Right.
I said, you're taking on, bringing to me what you feel, how you feel. And I said, it's more about why you feel that way. It's not because of what I was saying. It's why you feel that way about it. What is it about you in you that's there? There's a problem there. It's not what I was saying. Instead, he could have come around the corner and said, wow, babe, I'm sorry I had you feel that way those years ago. I'm sorry I did that. Even though he didn't remember, I remember it. Validation,
right.
I remember it. But he did not get that. And I kept telling him, whatever it is that's going on inside him has nothing to do with me.
Right.
And he could not get that.
Yeah, and you're right, and that's what I was talking to Jim about at the beginning there is, you know, it doesn't really matter. The way he could have handled that immaturity would have been to sit down with you and say, you know, I kind of overheard what you were saying, and, you know, I don't remember that, and, you know, or to talk to you about it in some way, in a mature way, and really come into that place, like you just said, Diane, even after talking about it, saying, well, you know, I don't remember that, and, you know, I'm really sorry that I did that. I'm really sorry I did that to you, and I can see how that would have hurt you. And really go on from there and not make a big deal out of it. Just own it and move on. And what Diane is saying too, Jim, and that's the reality is, and it doesn't matter who we're talking to or who we're dealing with, anytime, and, you know, we teach our kids this, you know, anytime you say, I'm sorry, but, or I'm sorry, and then there's anything after that as far as to turn it, you know, like, I'm sorry, but, you know, if you wouldn't have done this, or I'm sorry for hurting you, But, and, you know, but seems to be the biggest word that fits there for me in this. But anytime we add a but to it, we're really not saying, we're not really apologizing for anything. It doesn't mean anything. Because an apology is taking ownership. Whether we believe we did it or not really doesn't matter. And I've done it in the past, especially in church settings where there's been a misunderstanding or something happened with another person at church, and there was, you know, a little bit of flared, you know, just rubbed each other wrong, whatever. And where I just felt like, you know, I was not wrong in that situation, but yet I went back to that person and I apologized for what I did, for the way I handled it, or however, whatever it might have been, the way I may have responded to the situation without bringing up anything to do with what they did. You know, just owning my part of it and leaving the rest to God. And that's kind of what we have to do in these situations, is own our side of the responsibility. Apologize for our part. And sometimes we don't even have to agree with it, because especially when we're dealing with feelings, it doesn't really matter if we believe that or not. You know, it's like, I think John uses this example, and I love it, is, you know, if somebody, you know, friend of yours comes to your door and you go answer the door and open the door up and he punches you in the face. Walks away, and the next day he comes and rings the doorbell, and you open the door, and he punches you in the face. And the next day he does the same thing. He does this for 2-3 weeks on end. And then, you know, you're like, I'm not answering that door anymore when he calls. And then he calls you up on the phone and apologizes to you and says, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to, you know, I don't know what was wrong with me. I'm sorry I did that. And so he comes over the next day and rings the doorbell, and you open the door and he reaches out to shake your hand, you're going to flinch. You know, because you're expecting him to punch you in the face again, because that's what he always did.
Yeah.
So I had a point to that. I forgot where I was going.
That's what the wife told.
Thank you, Diane.
That's what the wife feels about it. Yeah.
I knew I was going somewhere with that. I just couldn't remember where. Yeah. So that's, you know, and that's how your wife feels. Exactly. So it doesn't matter if your intention was to shake their hand. They were expecting to get hit, you know. So it doesn't matter what your intentions are or anything. It's how your wife feels. So what you want to deal with is the way she feels, not what your intentions were. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, so just, Jim, just go sit down with Diane and apologize to her for the way you've been the last, you know, few days, and for not listening to her heart, and then listen to her heart. Trust her, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Okay. All well, right. I know you can do it because you've done it before. And
well, we appreciate it.
You're welcome. We love you guys.
Thank you, Steve and Julie. Love you guys. Right. Have a blessed night.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, good night. Bye-bye. All right. Well, the phone lines are open, and let's just see who else on the call. Do we have any couples on the call looking to get some help tonight? Or anybody just want to speak up and let us know you're on? It'd be a great time to do it. Or have a praise report. anybody out there? There you go.
Hey, Steve and Julie, this is Joel. Just picked up the call, and me and Chris and Josiah just walked out of a movie theater and watched Breaking Dawn. Twilight
Breaking
movie.
Dawn.
Yeah, Twilight, Twilight movie.
Oh,
the fourth movie in the series. You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's cool. We had an awesome intensive this weekend. Seven couples, full house, and from had of course Fiona and Shrek from the United Kingdom.
Oh wow!
And,
all right.
Yeah, it was cool, and had a couple from Athens, Georgia, and a couple from Florida, and let's see where else. Got to remember. Let's see, one couple from New Jersey. Let's see who else. Trying to picture the couples and where they're all from. They're from all over the country, so that was cool. And well, one couple right from Palm Coast. He goes, he's on the Don't Be Like Dale contest, Kosovo or something like that. I forget his screen name. It's kind of a unique name, Kosovo or something. I don't know. But yeah, it was really
so is
good.
Is that the ones that go to your go to church with you guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing that they were going to be there. That's cool. Good.
Yeah, you know, that old crisis last week, they were saving their money up and found out they were he was spending his money on some other things, so namely a cell phone that he wasn't supposed to have and some long-distance phone service he wasn't supposed to have. So needless to say, there was a little bit of crisis in their household last week. That was right during the men's call. We ended up getting off the men's call a week ago Saturday when that kind of broke and they ended up coming to the intensive, so that was good. That was an awesome time. How was your call last night?
It was good. We had a new couple on last night. I think they had talked to you. What's her name? Raleigh?
Oh, good. Raleigh, good. I texted Raleigh and he was wanting to talk to her today, and I'm like, got to call and talk to Steve and Julie. Yeah, Raleigh, you know, got into adultery, and it's just, mm-hmm. it's just very fresh. So, I mean, they're in a real crisis, that's for sure. And it would have been nice if they could have been here for this intensive, but they're both in the medical profession. They couldn't just help it take off and get here, so they're going to come in December.
Yeah.
So did you get to talk to both of them and his wife?
Yeah, we talked to them both last night for a while. They may be on right now. They said they were going to probably get back on again tonight. We just encouraged them to, you know, just really utilize the calls, get on, and, you know, to you know, get some support.
Okay.
They do have an appointment Monday with a counselor, psychologist, or something, psychiatrist, something like that. We originally encouraged them not to go to that session right at that moment. But she said that she had to have some sort of something from a psychiatrist or something in order for the insurance to pay for something and maybe for the intent to be able to pay for intensive or something. Then go ahead and stay with that and at this point. And
yeah, and she's so stressed out. They might
there.
Get
yeah.
her, maybe she'll get it.
Yeah, and Julie recommended
anxiety or something.
Yeah, exactly. And Julie recommended, you know, she may need something for anxiety or something like
that. Yeah, it's quite traumatic for her, that's for sure. Kathy went on the medicine there when that first happened with us. So definitely traumatic moment in their life, that is for sure. And there's all, you know, danger in his medical practice, you know, losing the job and stuff, losing his license, which is really, you know, it's crisis time. So, yeah, good. Did you talk to anybody else last night?
Yeah, we did. We talked to a couple other people. You know, it was fairly quiet.
Okay.
Let me see here.
People are doing well.
People are doing well. On the call for a long time. Go ahead.
I'll say what's been fun is the Don't Be Like Dale contest. we haven't been talking that up enough on the phone calls, but, you know, there's some guys posted on there every day after her heart's keeping up regular. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, Phil, you know, formerly Dale, and they had a nice vacation. And so there's some nice posts there in that section. Everybody should take a look at that and get motivated seeing what the guys are doing. And it's excellent.
Yeah.
So we got some more guys. I think Shrek is going to start posting in the Don't Be Like Dale contest when he gets back. Yeah. And a couple other guys in the intensive that we encouraged to start posting there. So, I'll see you.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, we had Brian and Mary. We talked to them for a while, and I encouraged him to get on there, for him to get on and start posting on there. He said he was going to. We'll see.
And he's got a big history of a lot of lines and stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Ron and Mina was on. Talked to him just a few minutes.
Good.
And then
did he have a good report?
Not really. He didn't talk a whole lot. Said they'd hit some bumps and, you know, realized they need to get more involved again back in the ministries.
Yep. Good. Excellent. Okay. Time to get them back on. Yeah, they were supposed to have a date maybe Friday night or something. Did they report if they had a date?
He did not. And she didn't get on. And then, you know, he got on right at the beginning of the call and was kind of taking roll call. And, you know, he spoke up, said he was on, said Mina was going to be, wasn't on yet or something like that. And I said, well, are you guys looking to get some help? And he said, no, we're just going to be listening. And then nobody else spoke up, so I called him back on and talked to him a little bit, but he didn't speak up a whole lot. He didn't talk a whole lot. So.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, they're supposed to. Had a date scheduled one night, and something happened. Their babysitter fell through. That was supposed to be Wednesday night. And then they were going to have a date like on Friday night, so they were supposed to call and give a report on the date also. That's all good.
Yeah. Well, other than that, I think we talked to Diane for a little bit, of Diane and Jim, and they were going through a bump. We just talked to Jim. Jim got on tonight, and we'll hopefully got them back on track. So.
Amen. So we told about the pillow we sent to Jim and Diane at the intensive. Everybody got a kick out of that.
Right.
Now we're sleeping with Joel and Kevin, you know. It was great. Yeah. We had 20 people at our dinner. We had the 14 people from the intensive, plus Kathy and I, 16. And Kathy's mother-in-law and Marcia's, 18. And then Bill and Lori, also from Palm Coast here, came to the dinner. So we had 20 people at dinner Saturday night.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it was awesome. They came in, they served the new steak. It was really good. I'll tell you what. My mouth will be watering for that next intensive dinner, the steak.
Awesome. Now, you do the intensive dinner at the same place you do the intensive, right? At the same hotel?
Yeah. Yep, right at the hotel.
Yeah.
They do a really nice setup. They got the meeting room. There's two meeting rooms right side by side. So we have the intensive in one meeting room, and then we have our dinner in the one right next door to it. And it's a large meeting room, and they set up the tables and big square. So the big square, we had six people on one end and four and five and five. So with my mom and Marcia being single.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
So there's not a whole room full of other people either. It's just you guys.
It's just us. It's our own private room, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it is. It was great. We laugh and tell stories, and Kathy's mother-in-law shares some of her stories, her day from hell, and I shared about going to Kathy's house when we were first married and going to her mother's house and father's house for holidays and having no mashed potatoes and gravy, so me going to the store and picking up the supplies, and then her mother making instant potatoes the next time in canned gravy, and I'm going out to the store again to buy real stuff, you know. Anyway, we had a good laugh on that, a good laugh about that. That's fun. That was an excellent intensive. The last intensive had 8 couples accidentally, you know, one too many. This intensive had 7, so we're getting full houses. And so that's a good thing. And
A couple people already signed up for December, isn't there?
Yeah, I think three. I think we got three couples signed up for December already, so that's cool. And then in January, we're not going to do an intensive till actually February 1st, Super Bowl weekend. So we'll start on Wednesday, February 1st. We'll end on Super Bowl Sunday and have people that want to stay overnight, that want to stay and watch the Super Bowl at our house. So we're not actually having an intensive that starts in a January date. So it'll be December 14th to 18th and then February 1st. Hang on one second.
Hey, Chris, just park the car behind the Cadillac. That'll be fine, isn't it?
Yeah. And, Josh can park his car just way back here.
All right. Just
leave him a note or something.
Anyway, so, yeah, with the calls being a bit quieter, that, you know, it's the nice part about that is couples are doing well. Of course, it's more fun for you when the calls are busy, but it certainly is a nice signal of couples doing well. And Kathy was getting text messages all weekend long at the intensive of praise reports from couples. And so it's really good.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Good.
That's, you know, and I don't know if you guys probably have noticed this, but, you know, for a long time there, it seemed like every weekend when there was an intensive, there was a crisis. And I've noticed that, you know, the last at least three or four intensives, it's been really quiet, you know.
No crisis.
I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but.
Yeah, well, now that you point it out, yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but you're absolutely right. So that is real good.
Because for a while there, it was like there would be a major crisis, like every time you guys were in an intensive.
For sure. Well, no, that's nice. That's good. But, we like not having crises, that's for sure.
Like people
doing well. So hallelujah. All right. Well, you guys have an awesome night. Sounds like quite a cold night. You might get to just end it early and make love.
Well, we just might have to do that. We've been busy. Julie just finished up. She's been doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, Joel.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? It's Will and Holly from Jefferson, Georgia. You're close to Athens. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Your name is Will and Holly from somewhere in Georgia?
Jefferson, yes. We're going by.
All right.
Our code names.
Oh,
sounds
okay.
Like I have somebody. But anyway, we wanted to hop in and say we were the eighth couple at the last intensive that made.
Oh, awesome! I know. Yeah, we know who you guys are. So you go by Will and Holly, is it?
That's how my wife would like to do it. So I'm honoring that she used a different name. So that's what we're doing.
Excellent. Well, how you guys doing out there in Georgia?
We're doing good. It sounds like there was somebody down the road from us. We're about 10 miles from Athens, so it sounds like there's another couple close by that came to this last intensive. That's interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if you guys want to try to hook up with them and get together and go out for coffee or something, you can call us and we'll get you a phone number for them. And that would be great.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Sounds like it would be a lot of fun. We're just about 15 miles from there. But the apology letter and been working through that. In fact, we just got back from a date tonight and we've been going through that. And I think I had about 60 different spots there for the different things to apologize for. And we've been working through them and just wanted to hop on. And it seems to be going well. Some are more painful than others, but I think we're about a third of the way through. But we seem to be making progress. Susan may have some insight or different thoughts on it, but it seems to be working well and doing our homework.
Good. Well, that's excellent. That's wonderful. Yeah, just to get, you know, be able to close some of the doors in her heart, you know, things in the past. It's like, okay, Will's got them written down here, and he knows that what they are. I know they were hurtful, and then we can close those doors and get on with it, you know, and get on with having fun here. So
yeah,
that's good. Yeah. Well, that's excellent. Well, good. Well, hey, you know, it worked out. You guys being number eight last intensive, because then we ended up having a full slate of seven this intensive.
Yeah, it worked out well. Yeah, somebody got a spot there. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Is that Holly on there?
Yeah, we're still there. Go ahead.
It's
a tough process in going through them, because in looking back and in going back, opening up those wounds, there's so much pain there.
Yeah.
And just to walk through the process of okay, I forgive, but God, how do I get the pain to go away? You know? To the point where, you know, where you want to, it's like in going through it, it's like, you know, I remember it as being bad, but then as you walk back through it, it's like, God, it's so much, even seemed like worse than what I remember. And just battling the feelings of why didn't I leave a long time ago? You know, how sick was I to have stayed as long as I stayed, you know?
Yeah. So you feel it, and then you grieve it, and, you know, basically if you can, you know, get a, kind of grieve a bunch of them at one time, and it's always was a three-day process for Kathy. Whenever something fresh would come up, you know, the wounding, the hurt would be there, and we would just, you know, I would just love on her and just be loving and gentle and kind, and she would just nurse herself for a few days, and, you know, usually the grieving process was about 3 days, and then she was able to, you know, pick up and start smiling again, and so
right. So
that's a good thing. So, okay. And you know, the hope on having the list like that is that, you know, the majority of things could be like, okay, we've talked about this and kind of relived it a little bit and had it addressed and closure and apology made. So now, you know, we can go from a whole place and don't have all these open wounds from the past still sitting back there.
Yeah, and I do feel like a lot of it is that way. A lot of it is that way. Then there are some that are just like, you know, still bleeding.
Gotcha. Yeah. It should make a deeper and deeper impression on Will of just appreciation for you of what you went through and that, yeah, you stayed and, you know, an appreciation and a thankfulness and, you know, I just live with such a deep love for Kathy and, you know, of everything all wrapped up together, you know, an awareness of, you know, what I put her through and what she survived through and then, you know, that she was still there and still willing to go through the process of getting a great marriage and, you know, it just makes me head over heels in love with her, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good way of looking at it.
I keep her in the marriage by treating her great all the time.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Have you two met Steve and Juliet?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, they're running tonight's call for us, and Steve and Julie live in Texas and been with us for probably about 3 years, I imagine, and come through a process in their own marriage, and it took a while. He wasn't one of our fastest growers. You know, they first came and had a little bit of stumbling for a while, but they came up and out and doing well and helping us out a lot of the calls and everything, so that's really cool.
We listened for a little while tonight before we spoke up, so it was very nice meeting, you know, listening to them and meeting them quietly, but certainly. Were they on? Yeah, last time. Yeah, we were on Steve and Julia last time.
I mean, we did the very last part of it because we got on real late.
Steve and Julia were more late than that time too.
Yeah, good. What was your date tonight?
We just went out to dinner at one of our favorite restaurants.
Nice. That's good.
It's very nice.
Yeah, cool. We had our church group and Fiona and Shrek from United Kingdom came to dinner and Bill and Lori, and then other couple local from that came to the intensive, Marie and Robert, and And I took Chris and Josiah out to see Breaking Dawn.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, Twilight. So, kind of had pretty good select, but kind of slow moving. Like, kept going like, can we hit fast forward here? But the overall effect of the movie was enjoyable. Yeah, the overall effect was enjoyable. Definitely a bit slow sometimes, but anyway, so, well, that's good. Well, I'm glad to hear from you guys. Glad you're on the call and doing your check-in, giving your report. Glad things are going well and going through your list. And yeah, the hopes again on the list is, you know, once you get through it, that some of the things you won't even have to spend much time on, some of them you do, but then you get through it and it's done and you got closure for it. It's like, oh, okay, now we get in our convertible and we enjoy our ride. And it just cuts down. You know, you won't have as many surprises down the road as memories coming back.
Right. And it has been, I mean, we have, the ones that we've dealt with, I mean, we have sliced them open and thoroughly cleaned, you know, turned over every rock and talked through everything so that, that is, when we get through, it's cleaned out.
Good.
But it's, you know, but it's just, it's a difficult process doing it, but I think I'm just, with some of them in the grieving process, but I think once I get through that, I think it is going to be, in so many of the things we've already been through and talked through, it is a healing process, and I do believe that. It's just, you know, getting through that, wow, why did I say, you know, but I did. And there's good things from that. You know, there are good things that came from me staying, just like, you know, if I'd, you know, chosen to leave, maybe things would have changed earlier. Maybe they wouldn't have, because we didn't have it all. We didn't have, there are a lot of information that we didn't have back then.
Exactly.
If I'd left, would have been just leaving to leave and who knows what.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. That's what we look back and we think, you know, you know, Kathy would have left early on. You know, I'm sure I would have knee-jerked back, but even when I knee-jerked back, we wouldn't have had any information to help us. We wouldn't have had, you know, no ministry, no forum, no phone calls, no, you know, online forum to get help with, and, you know, who knows what would have happened. So,
right.
So it all works together. So you just kind of appreciate the whole thing and go, okay, here we are. Now we're on a path to getting really happy, and, you know, that's you know, we're glad we're here. So however we got here, we're glad we're here now.
Right. That's
true. Yeah. Well, great. Well, I'm sure glad you're going by Will and Holly, right?
Yes, Will and Holly.
Well, all right. Well, thanks for speaking up. I'm going to get Kathy's waiting inside for me. I'm sure she's laying in bed waiting for me after that movie. So I'm going to hop off and go see her. And if you want to say hey to Steve and Julie there, and you guys are probably looking forward to capping off your date night with a little bit of nice fellowship in your bedroom, maybe.
prayer and Bible study. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, something like that. Yes.
Jola, never heard you put it that way before.
Right. Okay. Well, you all have a great night, and we'll talk to everybody later. Will and Holly and Steve and Julie, and be blessed.
All right. Well, you get some rest and blessings on you guys.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Well, Will, appreciate you speaking up. That's, I always like to hear some good testimonies of a couple that recently been in a, you know, whether recently been in an intensive or not, but just, you know, hearing you guys just recently at an intensive here a few weeks back, and you know, just really taking what you learned and running with it, and that's awesome.
Well, thank you, and it's nice to meet you, and we're certainly looking forward to being on calls in the future, so thanks again for what y'all do and the ministry y'all doing here. It's tremendous to have that support system there. We've enjoyed, we get along quite a few calls. Some of them we speak up, some of them we don't, but I guess it gets more and more comfortable to speak up as you get used to them.
It does, yeah, it does. And the more healing you guys get, the more comfortable you'll get speaking up even. You know, and the key is
you know, you get a lot from listening in on the calls and what have you. You get a lot from them, but when you come into that, you know, you come across something that you're just having a hard time processing through, that, you know, just get on a call and speak up and ask for help, you know, and ask the questions. Hey, we ran into a wall here in this thing. What do we need to do to get through this thing? You know, and a lot of times, and this is what I was talking to Jim about earlier, you know, a lot of times we know all the right answers, especially for guys, us guys anyway. We know all the right answers, but for some reason we need to hear it in the moment from somebody besides our wife for whatever reason.
Right.
Because, you know, for me, I get in that place and all of a sudden I can't hear anything. I know all the right things to do, but I cannot figure out what it is I'm doing that's different than what normally works. And getting on a call and just hearing it a lot of times is all it takes to make the difference.
Right. Well, thanks for that advice. We appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. So get comfortable speaking up when you're not in crisis. That way, if you are in a place where you need some help, it's comfortable. You can just speak up and able to do it, you know. So
sounds good.
Speak up with praise reports. And the other thing is, having praise reports is real encouraging to all those who are listening in on the call that are hurting, struggling, they're not getting a breakthrough right at this very moment. To hear a praise report from somebody else who, you know, is going through it and they've gotten a breakthrough in this place or that place, and it's just very, you know, it's very helpful, you know. So as we read through the Bible, you know, look at all the testimonies, you know, over and over, as we look at what others have done, you know, it gives us the faith and the courage to go forward in what we're doing. So,
right.
Testimonies are always good.
Well, thanks again. We're going to break away here, but thank you again. I'm sure we'll speak to you again very soon.
Sounds good. Well, blessings on you guys. Enjoy the rest of your date night.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, phone lines are open. Anybody else join the call? Want to speak up and let us know you're on?
Hey, Steve. This is Cleveland. How you doing?
Mr. Cleveland, I am doing good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I just heard the other couple. That was great for them to be in that intensive. I mean, I love to hear the stories, what's going on with people, everything else. Yeah, I just wanted to speak up to say hi, everything else. And, we're doing pretty good. Twan and I, we're still reading the book, Good Marriage, Great Marriage, Good Husband. I probably did that backwards, but anyway. Yeah, there is. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, babe. Yeah, and, you know, there's great stuff going on. We're almost done with the book. The book will be done. She said we'd be done before Thanksgiving. And we'll be done. We read two chapters a day.
All right.
And
wow.
Yeah, we do. It's very short, but, you know, love it to the point. I mean, I love the book. I like the book a whole lot.
Is that the, what's his name, Aldridge? Or?
Yeah.
I like the way, not Aldridge. What's his name, baby?
Alter.
Yeah, I love that book because he wrote that book for us guys. The chapters are, what, 2 and 3 pages long?
Right. Exactly.
There's a lot of chapters, but they're short.
They short, yeah. It's short chapters to the point.
Yeah,
that's not
to the point, and they keep our attention. So I mean, it's not more information than we can take, you know.
Exactly, and that's why I jump up and read a lot. I don't want to initiate this, and you know, sometimes she does it, but a lot of times I'm doing it because usually, no, back in the day, if she want to read something, I let her do the reading. About that. Yeah, I'm telling the truth. I let her do the read, but now I do the reading. And that's
because the chapters are short.
Right, because the chapters are short, yeah. Yeah, man, get your attention. Oh, God. Yeah, but but I love that. I like the book. He's telling the truth about a lot of things, and I really enjoy it a whole lot. And you know, it's had opened my eyes up a whole lot. Make me look at things differently and do things differently.
And isn't it interesting how you know, he really, I mean, you know, I think he has Catholic background, but I mean, you can tell from his writing that, I mean, he's not a believer in the sense of born again believer,
right,
where he has a relationship with Christ. But you know, as you read his book, I mean, it is so, you know, what, 90 some percent at least is right in line with what we teach in this ministry. I mean, he's coming to that place from a secular perspective, and he's understanding and learning the same thing.
You're right, and you know, that's what makes it so interesting, is because he's coming from a secular perspective, and 90%, I say 95% of what he's saying comes from the ministry. It's just that, the secular perspective of it, I guess that if you are secular, you understand it from Joel and Catholic perspective. I think that's what a lot of the catch, if that right there with Joel Catholic, that could get a person to Christ.
Right.
And that's powerful by you utilizing the secular perspective to a Christian perspective. And, you know, because when he was reading, I said, this is the same thing what Joel and Kathy was talking about, you know, with the mother-son issues. And that was the last chapter we was talking about, when the guy was yelling at his wife a lot and his children, make them scare him because of what was that was the second guy. The first guy was that he ran away from his wife because he don't want to deal with her needs, and that's a mother son issue, because he's according to what they were saying, he was the reason why he was like that, because he had to deal with the fact that his mother talked to him just like she's supposed to talk to her husband. And I was like floored. I said, this is exactly what a mother and son issue is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. I mean, the book is really good, and I enjoy every bit of it. To the point, he talks directly to us in a male perspective. And
right.
That's what I like about it. Yeah. But, yeah, we're doing pretty good. Just Tawana, she did something wonderful today for me. I really appreciate it. And she made something that she made a crescent dish that we made since we were first year of marriage. She made this today, and we've been married 15, going on 16 years. And when she made it, she said, I got a surprise for you. So I called on the phone, I was out. I said, what's the surprise? She said, it's something that we haven't had since we were first year of marriage. And I had to think about it for a while. It took me almost 35, 40 minutes to think about this. I didn't get it until I got to the house. And when she got, I was like floored. I almost brought tears to my eyes. I said, I have not had this in years. This is 16 years we haven't had this dish.
Wow.
And she made today, yeah. And I think, the main reason why is because yesterday, well, there's a lot of things I have been doing to bless her. And I think that was the turn point today, right there.
Hmm.
And we've been enjoying ourselves doing stuff as a family, reminiscing when we was teenagers, things like that.
So it really works, doesn't it, when you made the choice to really start doing this, when you went first and finally made the decision that you were going to start to change and live this life and become a Christ-like man, your wife is now beginning to get that healing, and you're seeing changes in your marriage, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time.
So is Tawana there?
Yeah, she's here. She's, that's, yeah, here she is. Here's Tawana.
So Tawana, I'm hearing Cleveland here. I'm hearing what he's saying. So I just need clarification on this. All this stuff that he's been writing on the forum, then he's not writing a fiction story?
Oh no.
I'm playing. All right.
Oh, look at Julie back now.
Well, praise the Lord. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a blessing. I enjoy.
I always have to ask him. I say, you remember to go write your post today? You remember everything you did? And he starts smiling. He's like, oh, yeah.
That's good.
He gets happy. I think he likes posting on there.
That's good.
I'm enjoying myself. I'm actually enjoying
Whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, whatever it takes, yeah, but mainly it's that I'm actually enjoying it. At first, I'm like, oh, God. But now I actually enjoy posting. I'm actually enjoying just telling what we are doing together and actually really open up more. And,
right.
And just look at what I'm doing. Yeah. And she's happy. You know, she's really happy
with
me.
Right. And when you're being the source of life and source of strength in your marriage and you're blessing your wife, makes you feel good, and you want to tell everybody about it.
Oh yeah, I do, and it's really wonderful because I don't even get stressed out like I used to. I really relax more. I know that even though beforehand, I just keep thinking about it. I went through the 6 months. We've been doing this 6-7 months now, and I'm going back and just look at all the things that we started, like the her smile kiss thing. I look at it, I said, yeah, I was angry that day. I was upset. I was mad. I did pretty good that day, and now I start to see my attitudes change. And, and that I didn't see it before. He goes, Tawana said, have you actually checked this out? I said, not really. Then after I looked through it, yeah, I have changed a whole lot. Because I remember I whore a lot of anger issues.
That's a good thing we put in a notebook.
Yeah, we did, because it's something we could pass down to our son, something like that, because it's
more of a motivator to look at.
Yeah, it's more like a motivator.
Write a book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he got a note, just a regular notebook, and he just started back in, what was it, June?
June,
he started writing down every time he... how many hugs, smiles, and kisses he gave me a day, because I, give him little cards every time he does a certain action. And so he counts up the cards at the end of the day to see how many hugs, cards he got, how many smile cards he got, and et cetera. So he's been doing this since June, and he looked at his progress from back then to now, and he sees the jump and how, he's doing so much better.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I didn't even really do anything on that day. I must have been really mad. I said, uh-huh. He was in a funk.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Well, and it comes across just talking to you guys on the phone, how much better you did, hearing you guys laughing and just enjoying each other and enjoying your time together, enjoying life together.
Oh, yeah.
It just comes across completely, and it's totally different.
Yeah, the ministry is really helping me to really voice myself in a better way. I can see myself coming from that place of strength with him now, that when I do have to say something to him, it doesn't have to result in an argument, because I'm very strategic with how I do it through what I've learned from the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And we get through things so much more easier.
And quicker.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I can actually get him to listen to me and think about what he's doing and what he's saying, So, and he's not so quick to jump and want to argue with me more about it. He considers it now and thinks about it, and he'll apologize, and he'll do what he needs to do.
That's awesome. That's wonderful.
So the ministry has really given me the tools that I need. It really has. It's blessed me so much.
And the ministry gave me a good swick of him kicking the behind, too, but that's a good thing.
That's right. I've been there. I know that one.
Yeah. It's really remarkable, because
I've still got bruises.
Yeah, I got the bruises too, but I'm not finished yet. But it's worth it. And
that's
right. It's worth it. And it's worth it. I am so blessed by this ministry. I just don't know what other way to say it. I mean, this is it's better than Christmas now. They'll say Christmas is good, but this is great. This is really great because it's a life change thing for me. And,
right.
It actually shows, not only does it show good things going on here at home, but it's also outside home as well. And I think that my attitude, everything else changed. And a lot of people see that now. I don't have to really prove it. I just do it. And I know beforehand I tried to prove my point by a lot of things, but now I don't. I just do it and just do it, try to do well at it, and it shows. It really does show.
Have y'all seen the movie Facing the Giants?
Not yet. No, not yet.
You gotta get it. It's been out for quite a while. You gotta rent it
online.
Great movie. It's one of the Sherwood productions, the ones that did Fireproof, and the new one that's out now, Courageous. They did Facing the Giants before they did Fireproof. But anyway, me and the girls just watched it again. I've probably watched it four or five times now, and every time I watch it, I mean, I get more out of it, and it just does something to me. But there's a scene in there when the coach makes change in his team and he calls his team to a new place of the way they're going to be, and you know, instead of playing football as being the end all, you know, we got to win the game, that's what it's all about.
I think I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
Was the guy, didn't his, him and his wife had a hard time having a baby at first?
Yeah. That's the movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Okay. Well, there's that, anyway, that one scene in there, he calls the team to a higher standard, and he tells them, he says, you know, it really doesn't matter what you do playing football or on the field, but it's in everything in your life, you have to be that way. You know, it's that integrity has to be everywhere you are. You know, whether it's you're in the classroom or at home or on the field or everything you do, you need to be at that same level, because if it's only on the football field, then it's not real. It's not who you are. Right. And it's the same thing with what you were just talking about. You know, you're changing. God's changing you. You're going to new places in your marriage, but it also is everywhere you are, you know, because it's changing who you are, so therefore, wherever you are, you're not the same person anymore.
Right. And it's a wonderful change, Steve, because when you start to look at things differently, you start to really take things in perspective. That's where I'm at right now. And I see everything for what it is. The way I conduct from outside home to home, you know, it's really a big change, because my son wants to be around me more. He definitely wants to be around me more. I mean, I was in the back room. I didn't have to do so much work today because, you know, I teach her. She needs a time off. We just looking some stuff up, and he always come in the bedroom, see what I'm doing. So what you doing, Dad? What you doing, Dad? And usually before then, he usually don't come in there because he's so afraid of me. And now, as I change how I treat his mother, right, he wants to be around me more than I be with his own mother. Because, I mean, he really does. Yeah, he literally wants to be around me. And, like, Friday night, perfect example, Twan and I, we went back, no, we did, I think we called it throwback, I mean, we just did it. We did a throwback about all the things we did as a teenager. And I saw actually enjoy our time together when we was talking about the old videos, music videos, the dances we did, the stuff that we used to do when we were teenagers. And he actually listened and actually enjoyed all the videos we watched, all the things that we listened to. And he was like, wow. And we actually enjoyed it. We was having fun, playing around, just giggling and everything. And he said, let's do that again. So we did a little bit today. Just that reason, just have that time as a family. And right. That's mainly what it all boils down to. And he loves to spend time with me now. And it kind of brings tears to my eyes because, you know, I'm actually getting rid of some of that mother-son issues, not having the time, because I never had the time to spend with my father because I never know my father. But now my son's starting to know me a whole lot more in this perspective, and he's enjoying being with me. So
wonderful.
Yeah, it's
so many blessings coming out of making those changes and beginning to be that Christ-like man and, you know, being Christ-like in your marriage. The blessings just flow out from there.
Oh, yeah, it works out tremendously. And I tell you, anybody who's listening, it's worth it. It literally is worth
right.
it because
right.
you see where you're at with God. And, you know, Jesus Christ, you started to walk your steps as a man who wants to be Christ-like. And when you start to walk those steps, it really transforms you to a different person, just the same thing Paul did.
Right.
And that there right there, that's when you know that your heart and your mind and your soul has changed for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that
right.
takes a toll because it's I never know that I could be happy and enjoying life until now.
Exactly.
And
that's right.
It's a
and
blessing.
Blessings will just keep flowing. Were you guys on the call last night, by any chance?
No.
Last night. No, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah,
I was sharing something last night. I just want to share it with you.
Sure, no problem.
So there doesn't seem to be a lot of people speaking up. We'll just kind of keep talking and. Somebody, if there's anybody who has joined the call and you're looking to get some help in your marriage, just let us know you're listening in and that you'd like to get some help here so that we know you're on and looking for some help. But in the meantime, what I was sharing last night, it's out of Jeremiah chapter 29. It was something that Joel had shared on a week or two ago, and I'd started digging into it and meditating on it and looking at it in more depth, and Jeremiah got a word from the Lord. He wrote it down and sent it. It was during the time when Israel was in Babylon in captivity, when they spent the 70 years in captivity in Babylon. And Jeremiah got a word, so he sent it off to him up there and basically told him, he said, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat the fruit from them, and marry and have children and have your children marry and have more children. And basically it was just telling them to be fruitful and multiply and just be fruitful. And then he goes on to tell them, says, and pray for the wealth of the city that you're in. And he says, and as you pray for the wealth of that city, as they gain wealth, you will gain wealth. And then some translations use the word prosperity there. So pray for the prosperity of the city you're in, they're telling them. And the city they were in, remember, they were in Babylon, which was a ungodly nation, ungodly city.
Mm-hmm.
And God's telling them to pray for the wealth or the prosperity of that city you're living in. And he tells them, he says, as they gain the wealth or the prosperity, you will gain wealth, prosperity. Now, you can you know, you can take that as wealth, just being financial. But I believe it's more than just financial. We're talking about financially. We're talking about spiritually, you know, a relationship with the Lord. We're talking about relationships with others, with our wives and our marriages, with our children. You know, pray for prosperity in all those places, and you'll gain prosperity in all those places. And he goes on to tell them, you know, that they're going to be there for 70 years, and after 70 years, he'll return them back to their city. And then he says, or back to Jerusalem. So he says, you know, pray now. And in a time, you'll be back where you're, you know, where in your home. You'll be back in your place. But while you're there, I'm going to prosper you there too. I'm going to take care of you. And and then he says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to not to harm you, but for your good. I'm paraphrasing here because I can't remember the whole verse how it goes. And plans for hope and gosh, can't think of how it all goes. But basically, you know, he says, I know the plans I have for you, and they're good plans. And but it starts out, he's calling them to pray for others, not for themselves, but pray for others, those in your city, those who you look at. And I mean, if you kind of think about, you know, I try to put myself in their shoes. They're in captivity in this place with a nation of idolaters and people that don't know God. And God's saying, pray for them that they'll prosper. You know, so I take that to today. God's calling me to pray for others to prosper. You know, those who are not on my team.
Right.
Those who don't know God, but those in my city, but also for those who do, you know, for this ministry, that it'll prosper, for the churches around here, for, you know, pray for all those things, you know, that they'll prosper. And then as we pray for others to prosper and to have all that God has for them, then we will receive that also. And I just find that to be interesting. But, you know, and one of the other things that I wanted to share with you, Cleveland, because I think this is a word for you, is that as you are walking this out and you have really turned your life around and committing your life to the Lord in a more true way, giving your heart to the Lord and to your wife, God's going to prosper you and prosper your family. I see where he's done that in our family. For Julie and I, you know, not that we weren't. I mean, things have been, you know, we've been in a good place for a long time. But even at that, I just see how God has shown us and done things and prospered us since we've been walking this out more and more abundantly than when we weren't. There was this process or the period of blinders where it didn't know any better, didn't know the truth, I guess you would say. But then once you know the truth, and there was that period of time where I knew the truth but chose not to walk in it, it was a real struggle. Things were really, we were really struggling through a lot of stuff at that time. And then as I chose to believe the truth and begin to walk that out, and now that we're more walking it out, we're seeing God prosper us and show us things in different places. And I believe he wants that for you and for your family and for anyone else listening on this call. I just believe that's a word that the Lord wants us all to hear. Because as we choose to walk in his truth, he knows the plans he has for us, and they're plans for our good and for our prosperity and for us to prosper in all areas of our life. And that's what he wants for us. Amen. Believe for those things.
Amen. Praise God. You know, that's powerful what you said there, Steve, because, you know, I you know, as you know, as a you know, I do daily devotions. We do it, you know, as a family, you know, listen to the Word of God, everything else. But also, too, personal note, you know, I actually, you know, read what other people, you know, what, you know, commentaries and stuff like that. But, you know, as I read that, I also try to get into the, I do read the Word, and that is powerful because I saw something in the Word before I left this morning. It was, I don't think it was Jeremiah, it was Ezekiel, I forgot the name of the verse, but it was talking about that God was trying to move the dry bones. I think it was Ezekiel, right? But mainly what he was saying was, and I heard this in my spirit today, was that I'm going to move something out of your life for you to prosper. And when you confirm that right there,
amen.
And I think that's what it is that, you know, me making a decision to go forward with my family and actually change to be a Christ-like man, God is going to move something out of my life that was a hindrance to my life for me to go to prosper. And I, it's more than just, like I said, financial, because I'm not looking financial as a standpoint. I used to. Don't get me wrong, I used to because of the struggle, but I know why I struggled, because I wasn't right with God. And it's mainly because, mainly right now, it's mainly, my main focus I really want is to see my family prosper, like love each other, be there with each other, and actually get along each other, because that's more important to me than money, and more important to me to be prepared to set. But I do receive those the added benefits by making that decision to be Christ. So that's my main thing. Now I enjoy every bit of it. So that's a confirmation from God, what you just said for me, and I really do receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Awesome. Okay. That word is for you.
I really do appreciate that. I really,
you know,
do.
On that movie, it made me think of another thing on that movie tonight. There's a prophet that comes and a good godly praying man, but he comes and tells the coach. He says, you know, there was two farmers, and hadn't rained for a long time, and God told them that he was going to send the rain. And one of the farmers went out and prepared his field. He said, which one of those two believed God? Now, obviously, it was the one that prepared the field for the rain, right?
Absolutely.
And then at the end of the movie, the kid that's going to kick the field goal at the end, he just doesn't believe in himself. He doesn't believe he can do it. And he tells him that, I can't remember the exact word he used, but he tells him that to believe God, you know, God can do the miracle through him. And then God provides the opportunity. You know, so it's trusting God for all those things.
Right.
And then as we trust him, we show him we're trusting him by preparing the field and by doing our part. We show him that we're believing him, that we trust him. We believe him for what he's doing by doing the action.
Right. It's amazing. I enjoyed this. I know Tawana, I could tell from her how happier she is. She's very happy. I mean, she's not there yet. I'm not going to say that she's there yet. It's a lot more things that we have to go through until we actually get there, because this is a life-changing thing. You know, it's not just, you know, 90 days or 100 days, whatever. This is a life-changing way of life. And I could tell the process that she's going through, and I could tell what I'm going through, and it started to make a whole lot of sense that she's happy that she needs to be, what she wants to be. And I really accepted that more, because it's more of what, how she's at with herself and what she needs to be at. So she needs someone like me to be there for her, to support her, to be there with her, to comfort her. And it's a blessing to know that you are there with her, or you are getting there with her. And that's when I'm seeing through her what she's growing. And it's right. Really shows that it's actually motivated me to really be that good husband for her. Because it's like when you see that she's getting there, if I get it and understand it and do it, is it reassure her and it's closing some of those doors that's been going on for 15 years of our marriage. And that's a blessing right there.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I agree. When you see your wife start to blossom and start seeing the smiles and the laughter coming back and life coming back into her, it encourages you to even do more.
Right.
Bless her more.
Yeah.
To press on.
Yeah, right, it does, because, you know, I was thinking about this contest. I actually not even think about, you know, winning more. I was just thinking about just doing it. I enjoy it. I mean, I saw her last night and to this morning and before we got on the call, I actually enjoy doing this. This is out of the norm for me, because this is not normal for me to do things like that, which that's good. Because I don't need to do normal things. Because normal.
And for all you guys listening on the call right now, Cleveland's talking about the Don't Be Like Dale contest that's on the forum, and it's really for all the passive guys on the call that, and like Cleveland's saying, that's stepping out of the norm, and I mean, Cleveland has stepped out of the norm, and he is posting every day, and I mean, if he misses a day because of, you know, circumstances or whatever, then he'll catch up and post
right.
And make sure. I mean, he's keeping up with it, and he's just, and by doing it, he's getting something out of it, and he's blessing his wife. And I just encourage every man listening on the call, if you fall into the category, if your wife tells you you're a passive guy, trust her, believe her, and if she wants you to get on there and start posting and being part of the contest, then go for it. You know, even if that means all you're able to post today is you kissed her two times and hugged her once, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And like with Cleveland, I mean, I love it, Cleveland. You are just so faithful about doing it and getting on there and posting what you did today. Bless your wife. You know, that's just awesome.
I enjoy it. I mean, to what I can tell you, I actually really enjoy doing this. It's a blessing, Steve. You know, doing this posting that, you know, it's encouraged me. You know, she even said herself, it's an encouragement. But I love doing it because she said that this is blessing her doing that. And I'm like, you know, I thought about all the things that she asked me to do through the years, even now, that, you know, small little things. It's just, you know, when she asked me to do something. So, you see, you know, when you are immature, it seems insignificant, right? But when you start to mature just a little bit, you see how it's more significant to her after you get out of yourself. You know, because when you've been selfish all these years, you don't see nothing but you. But when you stop being selfish and want to do things to bless others, it feels better.
That's
Right. I mean, it literally does. It feels better. And I enjoy
the word says it is better to give than to receive.
Yeah. She said to the powerful, she said, yeah, and you know what? It's not, nobody's not making you do it. I choose
do
to
what?
Do it.
Oh, no one's making you do it? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I choose to do this.
Right. Well, that's awesome. Praise God. Well, that is so cool and just really a blessing to be able to talk to you guys and hear the praise reports of things that are going on.
Well, we enjoy this ministry now. Just listen to the people. Listen to how Joel just helping people get past where they're at in life, especially in the marriage. And it's a lot to learn, and we're still learning. And that's the one thing about it. It's a learning process, but this process is everlasting. It's powerful. It gets you going one step at a time. Keep you motivated, too, because even though you're probably not where that compass at, it's those tools that is being said to help you perfect your marriage or help you at areas that you think that you need help in your marriage. And that right there is powerful in itself because that's how God operates. Even one word from God could change everything. And this ministry is doing exactly that. It's changing everything. It's literally changing everything that's going on at home. Literally.
Exactly. Is. That's right. Yeah. And, you know, and with that, I think that you said you guys have been in the ministry now about 6 or 7 months. Is that correct?
7 months, right.
Okay. Well, you know, and now with what you just said about where you're at right now, I'd like for you to share, if you would, just a little bit with everybody on the call. There may be some new people on the call right now. There may be some guys and even ladies on the call right now going, man, I just really don't want to be on this call. This is the last thing in the whole world I want to do. Share how you were in the beginning of the first few times, maybe the first few months or before you finally made the decision, Cleveland, that you were going to do this.
Well,
what was it like being on the calls?
Oh, man. I know at first I didn't want to do it. I was very pig-headed, stubborn, mean, and agonized. I mean, I was Looney. I think it's the Looney Tune, that's Cindy. She got on my case a lot.
On the forum, right?
Mm-hmm. And also, right. I remember it was another couple, Kimberly, and what's her name? I forgot the guy, her husband's name, but yeah, and they got on me real good as well. they did a pretty good job on me as well because I was a big time liar. I'm not gonna sit here and lie. I was a big time liar. I could lie through anything.
I like what you just said. I'm not going to lie to you. I was a liar.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Like an oxymoron. But I was a big time liar. I was very manipulative, and I really just didn't want to do it. I was pig-headed. I was trying to be my own man. Thinking I was a man, but mainly after listening to Joel, we got on a couple of calls. I remember the first time we actually talked to Joel and Kathy, and Kathy was talking about the convertibles scenario, you know, just being in the driver's seat, driving in the convertible, get to that road of outrageously happy marriage. And, you know, yeah, and we had some arguments, lots of those. And Joe had to stop him, being the referee, because I was trying to be right, and she was trying to prove her point. I'm just joking. And she was trying to actually speak what she was on her heart, and I didn't listen. Then we got to a lot of arguments after that. I mean, Tawan made me a marriage manual, I was very argumentative with that. I'm just going down a list of stuff I was bad at, just to let y'all guys know that where I made the decision at. I was pretty much, I didn't care about her feelings. I ran over her feelings. I didn't care about anything what Tawana was thinking about, because I thought that Tawana was being very mean spirited, because she's holding on to this. I just being honest, but what made the decision is when I talked to you, Stephen, and Julie, that was when I remember the first time when we was talking about me being a Christian, mm-hmm. and I was very directly mad then. I was pissed off. I'm going to sit here. I was like, what? These people don't even know who I am. And they're telling me I'm not a Christian. Yeah, I went off. I didn't even say a word. I went off. Yeah, I went awful to one. I literally did. And I remember she spoke to me for a whole week. Literally. And it was like, it was that night after we talked, before we talked to you. I remember got on the call. And I remember Tawana said, "You better get on this call. If you don't get on this call, it's it." So I did. And I remember I told you what's going on in my mind, everything else. And I remember Julie just told me, she said, "You gotta let this thing go." And I remember thought about that and thought hard. And I just like, you know, I do need to let this go. And I didn't know what that meant at first, let go, mm-hmm. until y'all explained to me what it was. Mm-hmm. And I was all over the place. You know how I was. I was very all over the place. My mind, how I was talking, how I was directing to you guys. I was all over the place.
Yeah.
Until I just made a decision and said, "I'm going to do this." It took a lot out of me to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Tawana said she didn't think I was going to do it. Tawana literally believed in her heart that I wasn't going to do it. She thought I was just playing games. She really did. But I literally took that. I actually made a step to do something. Because I never actually made a step to do anything in our marriage. I literally didn't do that. And, when I did that step to get there, where I'm at, things started to change. And what the major change was, while I rolled forward, I didn't even know that I was changing until I was telling people that it was a process that I'm going through. Because one knows that, you know, when people say some good things about something, I always boost my head up about it. But I didn't think about that. I said, you know, it's not about me. It's about her. It's about what Christ wants. It's about what my son needs. It's not about me now. Mm-hmm. And that's what was going on in my head to make that change to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And after I did that, I realized that, you know, I really want this. I really want an outstanding happy marriage. I want to be happy. I want to enjoy life just with her, you know, because our son's growing up and he will be leaving home soon, want to have his wife, a family of his own. And, you know, he needs an example of that. And, you know, I don't want him to see that his dad treat his own mother wrong. I don't know what the outcome will be. So after I started evaluating that, and started to talk to Tawana more, and after we read the books more, and got more involved, you know, listened to the calls and stuff like that, you know, it was a gradual thing. It took me to surprise where I'm at, and I didn't know where I was at until after we talked to you guys a little bit more, wanted to be more involved in the ministry and, you know, Christ. And one thing came to mind, I wanted to learn more about God. You know, I wanted to be that Christ-like man. And when I made that decision to just be Christ-like, I was not thinking about the marriage. I was thinking about just being a Christ-like man. The marriage, being a good father to my son, just be a good person, fall in line when you make a decision to be Christ-like. So when I made that decision to be Christ-like, my attitude started to change. I started to want to be around with Tawana more. I started to want to talk to her more. When she wanted to talk, I listened to her, what she had to say. I stopped trying to argue my points. You know, as to listen to what she had to say, then I said, let me process this, you know. And those things started to change me. But I didn't just do it just to make myself look like I've changed. I just did it.
Right.
It's just like a conscious decision. Just do it. Just do it. Because if you just do it.
There was that point. There was that moment of decision made.
Right.
But then began the process of walking it out. And the change came slowly from that point as you continue to change today even. But
there
had to be that point of making that decision. And for you, it was actually two decisions to make, because the first one was you had to make the decision that Christ was going to be your Lord and Savior.
Right.
That you were going to become a Christ-like man. That was your, you know, you had to make that decision. And then you had to make the decision that you were going to do this for your family and for your wife.
Right. And that was that was the critical one right there, being Christ, just being in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That was very critical, because without that, you can't. And I'm just saying this, you can't be that husband. I mean, you can't. Secondly, with the book that we're reading now, you can't. You can't. But
there's always going to be a missing piece if you don't have Christ in that. There's missing a big chunk of it. I mean, you can do all the right actions still by your own will, choice of your own will, because that's what God gives us, is the will, you know, the choice to make our own decisions, and gives us a free will to do those things. So you can, by your own will, make those choices to do the right things. But you're always going to fall short to a degree, because without Christ, we're not complete.
Right. And that's you hit on something there, Steve. That was exactly how I was feeling. I said, well, you know, I could be nice to someone. I could love her. I could kiss on her. I could hug her. I could make compliments of her. But without Christ empowers me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it seems fake. And, I mean, that's just me. I don't know anybody else, but to me, it seems like it's not real. I remember Tawana really challenged me to be real with her. Not in her own words, but in the words that she used to say, is that she wanted me to get it. And I understand that a little bit more, even in her marriage, in the marriage manual, right? For me, that she just wanted me to understand her as a person, and as a wife, and as a lover, and as a friend, and as a girlfriend, everything that I need out of her. And when I made that decision to just follow Christ. You know, I know when you recommend the churches, you know, on special life church online, I literally took that as a divine moment from there. You know, even though our car's down, things like that, I still didn't have no excuse to not watch and listen to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, listen to IHOP sometime. I mean, I got on my browser. Just hear the ministry, just hear the ministry from Life Church, and talk to you guys. I need God then. I knew that God is with me. And that decision to be Christ with my wife makes a big difference.
Exactly.
Now I enjoy her more.
Right. And so, and with what you just said too, see, you made the decision to go from being a hearer to an actual doer. You know, like right. You just made the comment, you know, we mentioned, you know, check out, okay, can't go out somewhere, well, check out Life Church, check out IHOP. So you did those things.
Right. You
know, it's actually doing the things that you hear people saying, you know, that makes sense. And
right. And it does make sense. Right. It does make sense. And I want to encourage every guy out there that's listening. And I usually don't do this, and Juwan can tell you that, but I won't say this. If you really, really want to make your life better, just follow what Joe Captain said. I mean, to the T, because they know more than we know. We don't know everything. I'm gonna be one guy to tell you, I don't know nothing from the Hill of Beans. I thought I know everything, but I didn't. I didn't know how. Anything about marriage. And I'm glad that I don't know anything about marriage because it shows me that I need to know about marriage. But it's not just the marriage that I need to know my wife. I need to know her and know who she is because I asked her to be my wife. I asked her to be my soulmate. I asked her to be my helpmate. I asked her that. And she took it, she's taken the role very seriously and very well. And I commend her for that. And it showed me that I need to be her source of strength. I need to be that man that she wants when she acts, when she accepts my invitation to be my wife. I mean, that's right there. If you see that point right there that you need to really dig into the ministry, this is the point right here. It's a fork in the road because either you're going to do it or not. And I know for me, I didn't want to do it. I was mean about it. I just wanted to tell you, I was very mean about it. I could use words that could make you feel bad. Literally. But when I make, you know, and Tawan didn't put up with him. Tawan's a strong-willed woman. And she's not going to put up with nothing I do. Especially something that's not going to bless her. So when I really make the decision to do that, things start to change. Things really, literally start to change.
Amen.
And I love it. I literally do love it. It starts to really makes me want more of what I can do to bless my wife. Because it's easy now. It's easier. I'm not saying I'm there yet because I'm not. I'm not going to get there yet because there's a lot more of things that we are trying to work out. We ended 7 months, but that 7 months doesn't mean we're there yet. We are getting there. It's just processing time and learning what the things to do. And Joe Caddy got these tools to utilize it. The books are key now. Those two books are powerful. I mean, the woman of his dreams, the man hers. You got to read those books. I mean, those books are powerful. And I recommend reading Paul Hellstrom books. Those books are also powerful as well. And the book that we're reading right now, Good Husband, Great Marriage. That's another good book. And we're going to get more books, you know, whatever they recommend to read and to learn. We're going to read them and learn them. Because if you read them and learn them, you will see that the marriage thing is not what society calls it, okay? It's something that God ordains. And God ordains marriage for ministry. And we need to minister to people so they can see that this is real from Him. So I encourage you, anyone who's out there listening, take this seriously. This is worth it.
Well, I got to tell you, brother, you are building your wife's oxytocin right now.
I try, man. I'm trying. I really am. I literally am trying. I mean, I love her. I literally love this woman. I really love this woman.
Well, praise God. Well, I appreciate you sharing tonight. This is really good. Really good.
I'm glad it came on. I mean, I really
And it's good because, you know, hearing people's stories, because let me tell you, when you're new in the ministry, when you're in the middle of all the pain and all the hurt, it's really hard to believe that it's going to change. It's hard to see the other side. So to be able to hear the testimonies and, you know, and hear the story, and that's why I wanted you to share, you know, where you, you know, because you're sharing where you're at now, but I wanted you to share where you came from, where you've been, and, you know, and you guys have come a long ways, and it comes from you making the decision.
Right. Yeah, this, you know, that's
then,
it.
And then being plugged in. So praise God.
Yeah. It's worth it. It is worth it. And I, like I said, I'm going to say again, stay on top of the calls, stay on top on the form, stay on the books, and actually, if you can get on, go to the intensive. I know we're going to try to do that ourselves. We are going to, this works. I mean, I see it working right now. We haven't been in intensive yet, but I know if we get there, more tools to utilize to better our marriage, it's worth it. Whatever it takes. You have, if you really love your wife like you say you do, and you feel like you're in a rut because, you know, you feel like she wants to divorce you, or you feel like that is not going no well, look, this is a fork of the road ministry. It's worth it. And they will definitely get you the tools to get you there. It's up to the man to make the first move. And, I mean, that's the bottom line. If you make the first move, man, husband, if you make the first move, you will see a change in your wife. I guarantee it.
Amen.
I guarantee it.
Amen. Well, I appreciate you talking and sharing tonight. Let's see if anybody else has joined the call that need to get some help. Anybody out there need to get some help here tonight? Want to speak up? Let us know you're listening in or anything. Okay. This has been a really awesome call. It's been, you know, a lot of testimonies and, you know, a little help there for people in the beginning. And just, you know, the encouragement and speaking the word and speaking the truth and just getting that out there. I mean, it is so important because this is what God is looking for. If God wants outrageously happy marriages. He wants to show the world what marriage is because Christ is our bridegroom who's coming back for his bride so we can be a part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, most of the world doesn't have a clue what that looks like. And honestly, if you're looking at marriages going, man, we really want to spend the rest of our eternity married like this, you know, forget that. You know, most people would say, no, I don't want that. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to have an outrageously happy marriage. He wants us to prosper in every way possible. So, Cleveland, I just really appreciate you sharing tonight. It was really awesome.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, usually I don't share my testimonies, but I'm glad that I have because I mean, I realize where I'm at with my family, with ministry, mainly with God. And, you know, I want to encourage someone out there because God just told me you need to encourage people more. And I understand that now. Even Tawana said herself, I do too. And I understand why she said that because it's a reflection of where you're at. And you
well,
need
and
to be
bold. It's actually twofold there, Cleveland, too, because, you know, with you sharing tonight and talking about all the different things you've said tonight, it's just solidifying it that much more in your relationship and in your walk and what you're doing. By speaking it out, by talking about it, by sharing it, just it helps you personally, and you're helping others. And so that's enough, you know, so there's a twofold purpose about sharing our testimony, sharing where we've been, where we're going, where we are. You know, that's why, you know, the word tells us to be prepared in season and out of season to give an account or a reason for what we believe.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because it's to help others.
Right.
But it also, it takes us to that place. You know, that's why I encourage you and every other person listening in to write out your testimony of not only of your walk with the Lord, but also your relationship in your marriage or other places. You know, if you write these things out, if you write out your testimonies, they're pillars, they're Ebenezers of where you were, where God moved in your life, things that God did that you can look back on for those times when you come, even because in marriages, you know, we're all going to still have, we're going to have bumps, we're going to have things we have to work through, but we need to be able to look back when we come to those hard places, when we come to that, we come into a place where it's a struggle, we need to be able to look back and say, well, but look at what God's done before. You know, again, and I love that movie. I'm telling you, I've watched this movie I don't know how many times now. It's just such an awesome movie.
It is. I remember the one now,
When they faced the Giants, that was the name of the team they played for the state championship. You know, the coach made that speech, and he talked about how all the things that God did to get them to that place. Yeah, we're facing the Giants, but look at what God's done to get us here. So if God could do that, then why can't he, you know, why would we think that we can't win this game? Why would we think that God is going to bring us to this point and then just leave it all up to us, you know, or leave us on our own? You know, it's facing the Giants. And I love just the little what do you call, can't think of the right word for it, but the kid that kicked the field goal that won the game against the Giants, his name was David.
Right. Yeah, his name's David, so what?
Yeah. You know, it's those little things like that, you know, and the points that you get from that, and there's so much truth and so many things you can get from that, you know. And that's why I like to watch it more than one time. That's why I watch it over and over. There's so many different things that you can get.
Right.
But, yeah, so we just... All good. All good.
It is, man. Now, I was going to go ahead and give Tawana a hug, smile, and kiss.
There you go. Absolutely. And if nobody else is looking to get any help tonight, I'm probably going to end the call. So if we have anybody join the call looking to get some help tonight. Charles from Cali, are you out there? Charles of Cali, are you out there? How about the couple we talked to last night? Raleigh and Vaughn, are you guys out there tonight? Are you listening in tonight? All right. Well, if there's no one else looking to get some help or wanting to speak up, I'm going to go ahead and close up the call then. Well, Father, God, we thank you. And thank you, God, for the testimonies tonight, God, for the just the things you are doing, God, in this ministry and in lives of the couples and individuals in this ministry. Father God, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord God, as you transform lives and transform marriages and build testimonies that can go throughout the world, Father God, to change this world, God, to change the face of marriages all over this world, Father God. We just thank you and we praise you. And God, we just ask, God, for boldness, for the words, opportunities, Father God, to speak your truth and to speak what you have taught each of us about marriage. Father God, I just ask, God, that as we go as couples, as we go out into the world and even into the churches around us, Father God, that we would shine the love of Jesus, that people would see that we have something they want, and that it would cause the world to look in, and the world and the church to look in, and people to want what we have, Father God, that this message of marriage your way, Father God, would become a mainstream word, Father. There would be critical mass all over the world of this message going out, Lord. God, we thank you for all those who are on the call tonight, all those in this ministry, Lord. And we just ask God your blessings. We ask God for your provision, Father, upon each and every one. Lord, for the marriages that are struggling out there, the husbands that are not wanting to do this, for the wives that aren't wanting to do this, Father, we just ask for your touch on those, on their hearts, Lord God, that they would see your truth and that they would get beyond themselves, Lord God, and trust you, even as Cleveland was sharing tonight, how he had to come to a point of decision to just trust you, Father, to trust in your Son, and to believe the truth and walk in it. God, we ask that for each and every marriage represented in this ministry and out of this ministry, Father, that your truth would be revealed and that decisions would be made to walk in your truth. Lord, I just ask, God, that what was spoken tonight would settle on the hearts of the hearers, Lord, all that was from you, and that lives would be transformed tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we are going to sign off. This is Steve and Julie, and Julie's been pretty busy tonight writing her practicums, but she's been listening in on the call, but you didn't hear her a whole lot tonight. Trying to get everything done. Got a lot of work to get done before we go out of town for Thanksgiving and then come home for a week and go out of town for another week on a road trip out to Florida and South Carolina and all points in between. So we're getting excited about it and trying to get everything done. So God bless everybody. We love you guys. And everybody be blessed tonight. And we will talk again next week.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. God bless.